Our next guest says 2020 wasn't much of a winner for anybody, but some politicians came out of it better than others. For starters, he says incumbents did pretty well here in Wisconsin. And what about Governor Evers, Supreme Court Justice Brian Hagedorn, and U.S. Senator Ron Johnson? Let us know whether you consider them winners or losers in 2020 at 800-642-1234. And who else in state politics would you add to either side of that tally? And in addition to people, what about concepts like mail-in voting, mask mandates, capacity limitations? We want to hear your state political winners and losers from the past year at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Dan Bice is the political watchdog columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Dan, welcome back to Central Time.
And thanks for having me.
Well, it's always interesting to go back and look at winners and losers in any given political year. Was 2020 a unique challenge given what a weird year it was?
It was. It's a difficult year. As I said in my lead, nobody won 2020. It was that kind of year. But some people did better than other people. And, you know, everyone's jockeying for position with the big elections here in 2022. And I was also looking back at things that I hadn't gotten around to because, you know, starting like 5 years ago, I started doing these winners and losers things, which is it's a little bit different for me because I'm usually doing investigative type stuff. But on election night, once everything's cleared, I usually stay up and write a story on who's done well and who hasn't. And I try to do two things. One, I try not to mention any candidates because everybody knows who won and lost there. It would be silly for me to say, you know, Joe Biden won Wisconsin because we already knew that. So I'm trying to tell you other people who might have won. And I'm not trying to say who I liked or disliked. I'm trying to say who came out politically stronger or weaker as a result of the stuff that happened in the year 2022. Plus, I tried not to duplicate myself. In earlier lists this year, I'd listed Robin Voss as a loser and as a winner. And so I just took a pass this time and decided not to deal with him this time.
Well, one category of people you say came out as winners, especially with the elections, incumbents did pretty well in Wisconsin. Can you talk about what we saw in that trend?
Sure. And that was a surprise, you know, with everything that went on with the pandemic, with how we were all locked into our houses in a captive audience. With all the money that was being spent in the races, and there was a lot of money spent, and that was another category of mine, the losers, the big money donors. There was very little that changed in the assembly. Two votes, two seats changed. We added two Democratic seats, and on the Senate side, we added two Republican seats. So everything pretty much stayed exactly the same, which is pretty stunning when you look back just a few months to the protests that were going on and how galvanized people seemed to be. In the end, we didn't change very much.
Well, I want to give some equal opportunity offense to listeners now with a couple of the items on your losers list. Let's start with Governor Evers making your list of losers for 2020 for a couple different reasons, some in his control, some out.
Right. This was probably one of the more controversial ones. And I think it's fair to say that Governor Evers' office was not fond of this pick. But, you know, I've been watching governors here in my 28 years in Wisconsin politics. And our governors like to be bold reformers. Back to Tommy Thompson, who, starting his first term, started making major changes to welfare reform. Governor Doyle, in his first term, renegotiated the Indian compacts, freeing up tons of money for the state. And Scott Walker, you know, any person who's written about Scott Walker has written the line, Act 10, his signature piece of legislation. Well, we're a couple of years into the Evers administration, and I don't think we have a signature piece of legislation. He spent much of the year fighting with the Republicans, and he's not the first to fight with the legislature. He got very little done with the Supreme Court. And again, those things aren't surprising, but I thought he was slow and stilted in his response to the protests in Madison and in Kenosha, opened the door for President Trump to come to Kenosha and claim victory there in his handling of the situation. And I think, you know, the situation with the unemployment checks I think that was really a disaster, and it took a while for the Evers administration to get its hands on it. So right now, you know, I like to think of politicians frequently like football coaches. And if you're in a situation where it's, you know, you're at the 50-yard line, it's in the fourth quarter, and you're behind by one score, what would you do? If it's fourth and one, I would say Tommy Thompson would go for it and run for 1 or 2 yards. Scott Walker would surprise people by throwing a bomb. And I think Tony Evers might even punt on third down. He's just very cautious. And, you know, he doesn't want to make mistakes. And, you know, he reminds me in some ways of Tom Barrett in that regard.
So that's one for the Democrats. Also on your loser list, the Republican-controlled state legislature.
I think they were a huge disaster. I think there were two entities that were really terrible in 2020. One was the legislature, and the other one was the Fire and Police Commission in Milwaukee, which can't seem to get its act together and name a police chief for the city of Milwaukee. But the legislature, it traditionally in election years leaves and lets its members campaign. But this year is a different year. It was a year where we needed the legislature to act and to help address the pandemic and the other major issues facing us. And instead, they disappeared. You know, for somebody, a group that likes to criticize members of the public and those on public assistance who they think aren't working hard enough, it was, I think, embarrassing their failure to come to terms with what was going on in the state. And it's interesting, when I wrote this, I heard from so many people who had family members who got sick or even died, who are very angry at the legislature. But again, that didn't translate into an upheaval in the members of the legislature. Most of them not only collected their checks and their per diems, but they also got to hang on to their jobs.
Talking to Dan Bice, political watchdog columnist at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about his winners and losers of 2020 in Wisconsin politics. Just heard losers there, Governor Evers and the Republican-led legislature. You can join in with your nominations on either side of the ledger at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Lynn is with us in Madison. Lynn, hi.
Yes, I think with what Ron Johnson has shown us lately, that he is going to protest the election of Biden. He's just given us the huge push to make sure that he is never reelected again.
Lynn, thanks a lot for the call. So Ron Johnson, Senator Ron Johnson, Dan, you gave him an incomplete, I think, or an undetermined.
I said to be determined. Again, I'm not saying whether what he did was good or not good, whether I agreed or disagreed with what he's doing. I'm trying to say who left 2020 empowered politically. And I don't know with him. What's happened is Republicans hate him more than they've ever hated him.
And Democrats
hate him more than they ever would. And Republicans like him more. He's, you know, I've dealt with and I've been reporting on Johnson ever since he's come into office. And he's changed pretty dramatically. I talk about Ron Johnson 2.0. He was pretty naive and maybe one of the most naive politicians I'd met when he first ran. He was very concerned about sunspots with the global warming issues. He told me that one of his first bills would be a piece of legislation to say no bill could be more than 10 pages long because that would reduce the amount of litigation we had. And, you know, ideas like that. I remember telling him, you know, the Constitution's not terribly long and that hasn't reduced the amount of litigation that's occurred there. But he's been emboldened by the fact that, one, he became a powerful committee chairman. And two, he's become very closely aligned with the president. But one thing is he continues to do what he wants to do. He promised us that he would serve only 2 terms in the Senate, but he's uncertain now whether he's going to keep that pledge. One of his advisors told me recently it's a 50% chance he stays, I mean, that he doesn't run for reelection, 40% chance he runs for the state Senate, I mean, U.S. Senate, and a 10% chance he runs for governor. But I don't know right now whether he's made himself more electable or less electable with the stuff he's done. But certainly people have much stronger opinions, and he's raised his visibility nationally in an incredible way.
But Lynn,
go ahead.
Thanks for the call in. We'll go to Jeff now in Superior. Jeff, hi.
I honestly think that Congressman Tom Tiffany being reelected, or he was, our congressman last year, and then he had a strong showing in the election in November, won 2-1 over his opponent. But he's the congressman of the largest congressional district in Wisconsin. And you got to admit that Wisconsin press does not cover that. And I think the Wisconsin press is a loser in 2020 for not covering it.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Dan, first of all, Tom Tiffany won a special election last year to replace Sean Duffy. And go ahead, Dan. Where do you think of him as a winner on the list this year?
So this winners and losers thing has become pretty big. So that days before the election, people start recommending people, including themselves, as winners and losers. And several people mentioned Tiffany, and I thought about including him in the list. It is true that he had a pretty convincing win, but I thought it was embarrassing that he signed on to this litigation to overturn the results of the election, including in Wisconsin. I think that was a really, really bad move. I don't think it's going to hurt him in the long run, but it was one of those things where I thought, should I just say something and stand up? Because I don't think he's been called out on that. No other member of the Wisconsin delegation did that. The only person I've seen who's criticized him for that is Right Wisconsin, the Milwaukee website, which after the election withdrew its endorsement of Tom Tiffany. But it is true that he set himself up pretty well politically.
Thanks for the call. We're talking about the top political winners and losers in Wisconsin in 2020. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel political watchdog columnist Dan Bice is our guest. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Who would you put on your list of winners and or losers here in Wisconsin politics? Where would you put the governor, the state legislature, Supreme Court, a couple of senators, members of Congress, the media? How about in your local area, city, county, local government? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation on the political winners and losers in Wisconsin from 2020. Our guest is Milwaukee Journal Sentinel political watchdog columnist Dan Bice. He put the state legislature, Governor Evers, and big money donors on the list of losers. Poll workers, state Supreme Court Justice Brian Hagedorn, and Wilmington, Delaware were all winners. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your nominations. Dan, before we go back to our callers, let's touch on a couple of those big money donors as losers in Wisconsin.
You know, when you talk about money in Wisconsin politics, there are three people that you talk about. Diane Hendricks, the Beloit billionaire and head of ABC Supply, and Dick and Liz Eline. The three of them combined gave more than $70 million to candidates in this last 2 years. The Elines are among the top five donors in the entire country. Yet the money that they poured into the state, especially to help Trump, in the end didn't work. The Democrats at the slightly lower level, the state Democratic Party, did an incredible job raising money this year. They raised almost $60 million, a record for a political party in Wisconsin, raised almost three times as much as the state Republican Party. And people don't think of the Democrats as being the big money party, but they were definitely that this time. Yet with that $60 million, and they came up with creative ways doing it, getting together the cast of several shows and movies to raise money. And, you know, there were people from around the country who were very worried about Trump being winning the state. So the money poured in, including a couple million dollars from the Illinois governor, J.B. Pritzker. But in the end, with all of that spending, they ended up picking up just two seats in the state assembly. And even before that election, top Republicans were telling me they were expecting to lose 7 to 9 seats in the state assembly. That just didn't happen.
Let's go back to our callers now. Joe is with us in Milwaukee. Joe, hi.
Hi there. I think the Republican state legislature and the national Republican legislature is a loser and, in fact, has blood on its hands due to its resistance to the shutdown and especially mask wearing. And I'll qualify that. In Japan, they have 120 million people, and they've had 3,000 deaths from COVID-19. So today, more people are going to die in the United States of COVID-19 than have ever died of COVID-19 in Japan. And it's the only thing that they do differently than us is wear masks at about a 90% level.
Thanks for the call, Joe. Dan, Joe also puts Republican lawmakers on the list, not for the reasons you had outlined, though.
Well, I was thinking about in terms of power, but it is true that, most of the people who've contracted COVID in the state legislature have been Republicans. And there are Republicans who are very resistant to wearing masks. But, you know, at the same time, the Republicans maintain control of the Senate and the Assembly. And the result of that is they get to redraw the district lines once again in 2020, which is a huge thing. You know, we're still dealing with the effects of the redrawing of the districts in 2010. And now Robin Voss and the Republicans get to do that again.
Thanks a lot for that call. Is that vetoable, though, by a Democratic governor?
You know, it has in the end ended up in the courts. And Governor Evers tried to get ahead of the curve by creating this commission that's going to try to come up with its own plan. But I just don't see the Republicans in the legislature paying any attention to it. And I know the governor's office has a lot of faith that this commission is going to do the right thing and its plan will be ultimately adopted. But the redistricting plan that was crafted by the Republicans is what we live under today.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Charlie now in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I didn't think about it, but we are all big losers if they don't do fair and honest and transparent redistricting. But my big loser for the 2020 year would be mainstream media, and I would include NPR in that when they did not discuss Hunter Biden's laptop and actually refused to do that before the election, and then subsequently it turned out to actually be a true story. And the other part is that they never asked about Biden's mental decline, that as he continues to do interviews as president-elect, you see that he is definitely showing signs of aging.
Charlie, thanks a lot for the call. Now, let's take a second point first, Dan. A lot of stuff floated around on social media about then-candidate Biden and President Trump, people making the argument that there were cognitive or signs of physical decline. Do you fault the media for not jumping on those stories?
I think the public has a very good understanding of who the two candidates were. I think that was reflected in, right after the November general election, I said the biggest winner were the voters. The number of people who came out and vote indicates that people were highly engaged and I think highly informed. I don't think there's any doubts that people know who they're getting with Joe Biden.
Thanks for the call, Charlie. Let's go to Ryan now in Superior. Ryan, hi.
Hi. Yeah. So I wanted to say, first of all, yeah, I'm sorry, buddy. You almost had that hard drive, but now we'll never get to see it. Anyways, Ron Johnson is the biggest loser because he did not stand up for Wisconsin to help prevent the virus epidemic from getting as big as it did. He did not support mask mandates. He currently did not support the $2,000 checks that could have helped people from being evicted from their homes and during this crisis. And most of all, and he will definitely lose on this, he's going to get behind the president in this ridiculous attempt to overturn the election, which is going to fail. So there's no doubt that he's going to lose when that happens.
Ryan, thanks a lot for the call. As you're saying, Dan, earlier, and I definitely have been hearing from our listeners this last week, for the Democrats, they are more upset, I think, with Ron Johnson than they had been in the past. That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to lose an election, though, if Republicans rally around him and we have another close race.
Yeah, I mean, actually, it would be, I think, personally, it would be fun covering the race if he decides to run again, because people are so amped up about this, as you can hear with several of these callers. People have very strong opinions. I think he's replaced Scott Walker as the most polarizing person in Wisconsin politics.
Thanks a lot for that call. Time for another caller. Tom is with us now in Milwaukee. Tom, hi.
Hi. My representative, Jim Ott, who's a Republican, lost his election to a Deb Andraka, Democrat, and I haven't heard anything in terms of a postmortem as to if the population is changing or how did he lose.
Tom, thanks for the call. One of the few seats to flip in Wisconsin, as you were talking about earlier, Dan, have people put a lot of effort into postmorteming those since there weren't a lot of changes?
Actually, there's been a lot of attention, but it's been mainly in discussing why Trump didn't win. And that is the suburbs around Milwaukee have changed a lot. Where they used to be very, very strongly Republican, they've moved further and further to the left. And that's resulted in the two seats that did flip were both in the suburban Milwaukee area. And, you know, there's one other factor that I think's happened as well that hasn't gotten much attention. I think conservative talk radio, which is has been a major force in southeastern Wisconsin, is not what it used to be. They help determine what sort of Republican legislators that part of the state sent to Madison. And, that's changing. And so if I had to list another loser, I could have put conservative talk radio on there as well.
Thanks for that call. Briefly, Dan, you gave a shout out as winners to our poll workers here in Wisconsin.
I did. And I said it feels insufficient given what people had to do to sit at the polls and get paid, very, very small amounts of money to do the job that they were doing.
Dan, thanks for joining us again today.
Oh, thank you very much.
Dan Bice is the political watchdog columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We talked about his list of the top political winners and losers in Wisconsin in 2020.